all with us. Welcome if you are visiting us, maybe here for the first time, maybe looking for a place to make your church home. We are delighted that everybody is here and everybody is fully welcome. My name is Jenny and I'm one of the stewards here at Wesley Mem. And we hope that everybody will join us for tea and coffee and squash after the service, which is through the door on your right over here, through to the church hall. We would love the chance to get to know you better. I don't have very many notices this morning, but there's one very important one. So a member of our congregation, another Jenny, is about to do her grade 8 clarinet, which is big. This is very impressive. And Kirsty, our musical director, is accompanying her for her exam. And the two of them are going to play their pieces through, like as a sort of dry run for the exam, which is in a week or so's time, after the service. So the plan is that everybody should go through to coffee like normal. Try and get your coffee quickly. I mean, I'm on the coffee team, so we'll try and be as quick as possible. And then after about 20 minutes, I think, the music will start. So there'll be three pieces for clarinet and piano. I think it will take about half an hour in total, but even if you can just stay for one or two of the pieces, I'm sure you will enjoy listening to them, and it will be lovely for Jenny and Kirsty to have an audience. So that will be straight after, that will be shortly after the service. And then the last thing I need to say is an enormous welcome to Mark Rowland, Reverend Dr. Mark Rowland, who is part of the Methodist Connectional Team, so that's like the national team that run the Methodist Church, and he is the Secretary of the Faith and Order Committee. And Mark, thank you very much for coming, and we're looking forward to hearing what you are saying to us this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Very good to be with you. Thank you so much for your invitation. It's a great pleasure to be in worship with you today. Let's take a couple of moments in stillness as we remember that we are in the presence of God. God, you were in the beginning. God, you are beside us now. God, you will be with us forever. We praise you. We join in singing hymn number 8, or I think the words on the screen. God with us, Creator Father, bringing everything to birth, Mother of the whole creation, fire of stars and life of earth. We sing together.
God.
do sit down. We're going to pray together. And through our prayers, we're going to use another hymn as a response. So if you're using a book, you might want to open to number 6, or the words again will be on the screen. And so after each section of prayer, I will say the words, "God, we praise you," and then we'll sing a verse of that song together. So when I say, "God, we praise you," we join in singing a verse of the hymn. So let us pray. In the beginning, O God, you were. In the darkness and in the chaos, you were there. In the nothingness, the formlessness, before anything was dreamt of, you were there. Out of your love came the spark of creation. Out of your heart, light was born. Out of your creativity, all things sprang to being. And you have never ceased to sustain the world, to love the world, and to breathe it into life. God, we praise you. God of all, you loved the world so much that you would not abandon us. God of all, you came to us in Jesus Christ, born as one of us, faced what we face, feeling what we feel, eating and drinking, laughing and joking, just one of us, yet to your Son, God on earth, here to show us who you are. We praise you for his preaching and teaching and healing that he ate with the outcast and the forgotten and the ignored. We praise you that he died for us and rose again and lives forever to pray for us. God, we praise you. Holy God, you never stop loving us. You never abandon us or forget us. We praise you that in the breath of your Holy Spirit, you constantly inspire us, lead us, disturb us, comfort us, and guide us. We praise you that we cannot know where your Spirit is going or where it has come from, but we know we can trust in you. We praise you that through your Spirit you give us the fruit of love and joy and peace. We praise you that you challenge and inspire us. We praise you that you equip us to serve and worship you today and always. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and fill our hearts, inspire our worship, and change our lives. God, we praise you. Gracious God, source of all being, you have created all things and through Christ revealed your salvation in all the world. Give us a vision of your glory and by your Holy Spirit fill us with life and love that we may praise and serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now, I have a little bit of a challenge for you this morning. Sometimes when you get a new preacher coming, it can be a challenge just to know what they're going to do. And similarly, the other way around, you never quite know what a congregation is going to do. So we're all on a journey of discovery and excitement this morning. So what I wondered, I am a terrible artist, but I wondered if we might have some folk in church this morning, and you may be not very old, or you may be a little bit older than that, and you may want to have a go. And so what my challenge to you is, and anyone who wants to can have a go at this, and if you're like me and think I can't draw for toffee, you're perfectly free to see what and rejoice in others' efforts. So coming around will be some little post-it notes. Get one if you'd like to have a go, and some pens. And I invite you, and we'll give you just a few minutes. I want you to try and draw yourself. Try and draw yourself. See how well you can draw yourself, and there are no prizes, and we're not going to be ranking them, and you don't even have to show anyone if you don't want, but I'm hoping some of you might be ready to show some people. And thank you so much to the stewards who are helping us with post-it notes and pens and all the rest of it. Can you draw? Say. You thought you were getting off the hook, didn't you? Okay, so I think probably most people now who want one have got one, so we'll give you a few minutes to have a go and see how it's going. Yeah.
draw myself with Adam and Mike at the moment. I'll go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how are we doing? Anyone finished? There's a few people there. Excellent. Any of you finished? You have? Fabulous. Well done. How are we doing in the choir? Oh, we've got some who finished. Excellent. Anyone who is willing to share theirs so I can have a look? Come on over. Let's have a look.
Very good.
And my question, if you showed it to someone, do you think they'd know it was you? Okay. I like the lateral thinking. Thank you very much. Anyone else willing to show me theirs? You want to come and show me? What have you done? Fabulous. I really love it. And do you think someone would know it was you? No. Okay. Let's have a look at yours. Oh, that's brilliant. Well done, you. And do you think they would know it was you? No. Anyone else want to show me theirs? That is fabulous. Any more? Brilliant. Do you think they'd know it was you? No. Excellent. That's very good. And do you think they would know it was you? We're not sure. Good. Right. Any more for any more? Any grown-ups brave enough to share theirs? Oh, we love a volunteer. Excellent. That's very good. Do you think if you showed it to someone, they'd know it was you? I hope not. Any more for any more? Fabulous. And do you think if you showed it to someone, they'd know it was you? See, I shouldn't think so. Splendid. Oh, I like it. And if you showed it to someone, would they know it was you? Not a chance. Right, okay, so it's actually quite hard. Oh, have we got another one there? Oh, excellent. Oh, I like that.
And yours.
And do you think if you showed it to someone, they'd know it was you? Has anyone got a picture who they think, if they showed it, we would know it was them? No. 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 Oh, we've got one here, have we? Oh, fabulous. I like that. I think that's good. That's very good. Excellent. So, some people maybe have ones we would know it was them. It's quite hard to do. And I hold my hand up, say, I can't draw to save my life. So, you know, I would have no hope. One of the things we do today is a day in the church's calendar called Trinity Sunday. And one of the things we're doing there is talking about how we try and picture God. And now if it's hard to picture ourselves and to draw a picture of us that we can recognize, it's even harder to think about how we picture God. God is always bigger than what we can imagine, deeper than what we can understand, and yet God wants to be known by us. One of the ways I find it quite helpful is to think about the story in the Bible when Jesus was baptized. And our Orthodox friends have an icon of the baptism of Jesus. And in it, I want to point out three different things. In the center of the picture, can we all see Jesus there in the middle of the picture? The one in the river being baptized in the water. Just above Jesus is a symbol of the dove, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't an actual dove, often pictured as a dove. You can see the Holy Spirit descending. And then at the very top, that dark circle, God, the source of all being, God the Father, as we sometimes say, who speaks, "This is my Son, the Beloved," and the Spirit descends. And we get that picture of God, the Trinity. Not perfect, but helps us to understand and may help us to recognize. One of the things I pray for us today is that we journey more deeply into what it is to know God, the unknowable. In a few moments, we're going to say farewell to our junior church and others, and then we'll have a choir anthem after that. So let's just pray together. Holy God, we praise you that though you are bigger than we can imagine, deeper than we can conceive, you want to be known by us. We praise you that you love us, that you call us by name, and will be with us always. Help us to learn more of you in each and every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll see you all a bit later. The Lord be with you.
Proverbs 8, verses 1 to 4 and 22 to 31. The gifts of wisdom and wisdom's part in creation. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gate, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs, abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, like a master worker. And I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race.
The psalm set for today is Psalm 8, and our next hymn is a version of that psalm. It's number 112. O Lord, our Lord, throughout the earth, how glorious is your name. We rise to sing.
A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit of God, open our minds to understand the scriptures. Open our hearts to know your love. Open our lives to reveal your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Trinity Sunday is sometimes one of those funny Sundays on which to be preaching. When I was a student, the Dean of College used to say that Trinity Sunday saw the pulpits of the land filled with theological contortionists, as people try to unpack how God can be three persons, yet one God, usually with a variety of analogies that may cause as much confusion as they add understanding. I wonder what your expectation is as we dive into that today. We had in the book of Proverbs that presentation of the wisdom of God, deep wisdom that underlies all that is. We had in John's very typical kind of relational picture of the way Jesus relates to the Father and to the Spirit. And I wonder what we come together to celebrate today. Now, some people say, well, Trinity Sunday is a very unusual day in the calendar because, unlike other days, it's a feast that's all about a doctrine. At Christmas, we celebrate an event, Jesus was born. At Easter, we celebrate another one, Jesus rose again. At Pentecost, we celebrate that the Spirit came. What are we actually celebrating, they might say, on Trinity Sunday? And I always want to kind of resist the idea that we're here just to celebrate an intellectual idea or a set of propositions. Because for me, the fundamental event happening, occurrence, that we enter into today is actually that we have a God who longs to be known. A God who wants to be in relationship with us. A God who, though beyond our wildest imaginings, a God who, though their ways are above our ways and their thoughts above our thoughts, longs to be known by us. I'm someone who absolutely loves paradoxes, and I often find paradox a really helpful way to try and think about God. So if you like, today is the celebration that the unknowable God can be known. The incomprehensible God can be understood. And it's a day that emerges out of not simply what you might call dry and dusty theology, but actually out of the record of the lived experience, the lived religious experience of Christians through the ages. A matter that Christians through the ages have seen to be of ultimate and foundational concern. A central truth of the gospel, together with all the others. And a key concern has been that this is handed on. And we get that image of the apostolic faith, received by the saints, handed on from generation to generation, as we bear witness to what God has done and what we know of God. And that into this paradox of knowing the unknowable, we have actually gained some light and some wisdom. There have, over the years, been many witnesses to that knowledge. And in this year of 2025, we celebrate 1,700 years since the Council of Nicaea in 325. And at the Council of Nicaea, the foundations of what we today know as the Nicene Creed, were laid. And the critical argument for the Council of Nicaea was about whether Jesus was really God. Is Jesus just God, or is Jesus a good man in whom we see the work of God? And after a lot of arguing, and if you believe some of the legends, even a bit of fisticuffs, they got to the point of saying, Jesus is fully God. And that matters. It takes more councils, Constantinople in 325 and Chalcedon in 45, sorry, Constantinople in 381 and Chalcedon in 451 for the creed to reach something like the form and the place that we know today. And a key question there sets us, where must we plant our flag? What really matters? Where do we have to draw a line and say this is fundamental in what we hand on? This goes to the heart of our faith. This isn't just an idea we must defend, but this goes to what we know of God and our relationship with God. And now those at the Council of Nicaea needed to take that stand to say Jesus is God. And that matters because it was God who entered into our world and came to be with us, who took on human flesh, felt what we feel and all of that. It was God in Jesus who went to the cross and rose again. All of that matters for what it says about our relationship with God and the possibility of our saving and healing. Through the years since, other situations and challenges have arisen. And Christians have been called to stand up, to speak and to live for what they believe in. And it has not always been the same issue. Not always the same challenge, not always the same place where we need to plant our flag and say, here is what we must defend because it goes to the heart of what we know of God, of who we know God to be, and of how we are in relationship with God. We might think of Martin Luther, a key figure in the Reformation, on trial for heresy, especially over salvation by grace through faith. You may know of his famous speech at the Diet of Worms, known by its final line, here I stand, I can do no other. Now, depending who you read, those words may have been added slightly later, but they summarise the point very well. He had before him at that point the options of recanting and being restored to the church as it then was, or pronounced a heretic, potentially with the option, with the consequence of being burned at the stake. For him, the matters at hand, that we can be saved by the grace of God and not by our own works, were more important potentially even than his own life. We could take a different example from the early days of our own movement as Methodists. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John, husband of Samuel, the rector of Epworth. Samuel's curate, Godfrey Inman, is covering in his absence, not quite cutting the mustard. I'm sure you don't ever have preachers on the plan where you think, I wish I'd not come that week. Susanna starts family worship at her home on a Sunday afternoon for her children and for the household servants. Others start to join. The gathering grows. Inman tries to have it shut down and complains to Samuel, trying to get him to shut it down. Susanna writes to Samuel, telling him what she's been up to, and saying that she will, as a dutiful wife, obey his instructions, but ends like this. She says this, if you do, after all, think fit to dissolve this assembly, do not tell me that you desire me to do it, for that will not satisfy my conscience. But send me your positive command in such full and express terms as may absolve me from all guilt and punishment for neglecting this opportunity of doing good when you and I shall appear before the great and awful tribunal of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to make me stop, husband, you better know on your head, be it. Susanna was not someone to be trifled with. Here I stand, I can do no other. In this opportunity to meet together, to pray together, to study the scriptures, We are finding our relationship with God, and if you tell me to stop, that goes to the heart of what it is for us to know God and to be in relationship with God. Here I stand. I can do no other. And so when we look at some of these things, they're not balanced accounts of the Christian faith. It's not like, what are all the things we have to stand up for all at once? But what is the issue at this time that calls us to make a stand? So back in Nicaea, issue about whether Jesus is God. For Luther, issue about salvation by grace through faith. For Susanna, a question of, can we meet outside church without an ordained person to pray and study scripture because we are knowing more of God? And so it goes on. As we think of creeds, I think there is a wonderful example from the United Church of Canada, their new creed in 1968. It starts like this. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating. And so it goes on. And if we think just for a minute of the moment in time, at the middle of the 20th century, what idea is it that actually in setting out this creed we challenge? The idea that this is our world, that we are alone and we are in charge, that we govern all that shall be, that there is no God, or if there is, we don't need God, or that God is not interested in us. And in response, the church must stand and say, we are not alone. We live in God's world. This world is not ours. We are not in charge. This is a matter of ultimate concern. Here we stand. We can do no other. And I wonder, as we look at our world today, as we look at its struggles of power, as we look at its growing by the moment tendency to violence, as we look at the place of humanity, as we look at the place of the whole created order, what is it that we need to say as a matter of ultimate concern that goes to the heart of who we believe God to be and God's ability to be in relationship with us, or rather our ability to be in relationship with God, for God is above all ability. Where is it that we need to plant our flag and say, here I stand, I can do no other? Is it when Christianity becomes co-opted to the idolatry of nationalist politics? Is it in the face of those who become richer and richer and richer while others go hungry and lack clean water to drink? Is it when all humanity created in the image of God is being divided between those who should be included and honoured and those who should be left out? I'm sure we could imagine many more possibilities. These go to the fundamentals of what we know of God. That we have a God who wants to be known. That we have a God who created humanity and all that is out of love. That we believe in a God whose image we bear. A God who so loved the whole world. A God who came to be one of us. A God who is with us still. A God who calls us to love mercy, to do justice and to walk humbly. A God who shows us the way of peace in a world of might is right. Here we stand. 1700 years since the Council of Nicaea, we celebrate and give thanks for the witness of that council and for the faith it preserved and handed on. But not just to receive it, as if they've given it to us and here we have it, we'll hold it in our hands and we'll give it to the next people, though that is important. But to live that spirit in our own day. To say, actually, there are things that are so important we may make a stand. There are things that are so important because of what they say about God and humanity, which bears God's image. We must stand for what is of ultimate concern in the challenges of this present time. And so I challenge you today, and I challenge me too, to ask ourselves, what is it for us, here and now, this morning, a Christian congregation in 21st century Britain, that is of ultimate concern? What for us goes to the fundamentals of all we know and have experienced of God? Well, we must say, here we stand. We can do no other. Amen. We're going to reflect on that challenge in two ways immediately in this service. The first of which is we are going to share in the Creed, which I'm hopeful will be on the screen in a moment, as we think back to that kind of early days and those who first articulated that. And then following that, we're going to sing a hymn, Let Love Be Real. And it seems to me that is a more contemporary expressing of some of the things we might want to say are at the heart of where we would say, let love be real in giving and receiving. That for many of us 21st century Christians, the primacy of the love of God is one of those things where we would need to plant our flag. So both of these are ways in which we reflect on that challenge. So I invite you, if you're comfortable to do so, to stand. Let us profess the faith of the Church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So we join to sing number 615, Let Love Be Real in Giving and Receiving.
We are the need.
As we pray our prayers of intercession, I will leave some silences. And if you think it would be helpful for you, I invite you to write specific names of people or places with your finger on your hand, just as a way of focusing your thoughts and holding these things before God. Let us pray to God. Out of the generous love you pour upon us, the hope you hold before us, and the faith that you inspire in us, we offer you our prayers for the healing of the world. We pray for communities crushed by war and violence and longing for peace. So many people who are suffering because of the decisions and actions of others. God of love, pour out your love. Help us to keep caring and to find ways to show your love. We pray for people who face huge danger because of their faith in you, for all who have to show courage to stand up for what they believe in. God of love, pour out your love and help us to be bold when it matters. We pray for people who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit and seeking wholeness. God of love, pour out your love. Heal them of all that harms them, and help us now know how to help. We pray for people taking exams in this season, and for those about to embark on a whole new stage of their life. In the revision, the excitement, the trepidation, and the leaving behind. God of love, pour out your love. Give calmness, comfort, and the absolute assurance that you remain by their side. We pray for people who are grieving, and we think of everyone who has lost someone that they love in the awful plane crash in India this week. For them and others, we pray this prayer from the Church of England website. Gracious God, surround us and all who mourn this day with your continuing compassion. Do not let grief overwhelm your children or turn them against you. when grief seems never ending, take them one step at a time along your road of death and resurrection. God of love, you hold all of these people and places in your hands and in your heart. Help us to find ways for our hands to show your love and our lives to point towards you. Amen. And we will say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
So receive your offerings for the work of God in this church and circuit. Generous God, your gifts to us are beyond our imagining. We give you thanks that we can give you some little of what you have given us. We give you thanks for these gifts of money and those given in other ways, for gifts of time and talent and effort. Bless them and bless those who offer them. In Jesus' name. Our closing hymn, number 681, invites us to live out our creed and to risk our life for God alone. Hymn 681.
Oh,
Now may God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.